Let's get counting with the Berenstain Bears. One bee, two birds, three puppies. Filled with fun and colorful art, this board book is perfect for introducing little ones, says little ones, to numbers and counting ages newborn through four. Newborns can't read. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and thank your lucky stars. Get down on your hands and knees, clasp your knuckles in prayer, and thank whatever deity, which whatsoever deity in the sky you worship, that this week's episode is going to be a quick one, it's going to be a short one, it's going to be a small one, it's going to be a brief one, because this week we are covering, I can show you in the picture, or I can show you in the cover itself, I'll show you both. We're covering the Berenstain Bears number book. It's a board book. It's a board book by Mike Berenstain. It doesn't have a story. It's just a bunch of numbers. How long could this take? How long could it take? It's just a bunch of numbers. So what is this? It's a board book. I have proof. If you're listening along at home, I have proof right here. That's the sound of the knuckles rapping on the board. Book. I read you the back because there's no intro, because there's no story in this book. It's not a storybook. Fair enough. Loosest definition of a story. Things do happen in this book. They do involve characters. There is a beginning and a middle and an end. So I'm taking it all back. There is a story in this book. There's more of a story in this book than there is in some of the storybooks we've gotten with the Berenstain Bears. I'll sum it up for you right now. The cubs follow a bee to the honey tree. That's pretty much it. But along the way, they see different animals in different amounts, and they count them. They don't really count them. They just say how many there are. That's the Berenstain Bears numbers book. So before we get into the nitty-gritty, why does this book even exist? I think it exists because Mike Berenstain was asked to write a numbers book. He was asked to write a numbers book, and he said, okay, it's published by Harper Festival. Came out in, I don't know, what's the year? 2022, so not even an old book. I had to make my own scans of this. There's no digital copy of a board book. I had to make my own scans of it, so I pretty much had to destroy my board book in order to get it to lay down flat enough to do scans of. But it's still holding together pretty well. I've read it, you know. I mean, it lays down flat if you bend the back a little bit. I had to crack the spine, which I hate to have to do, but it's a board book. It is designed to be resilient, not unlike yours truly. So what happens in the Berenstain Bears numbers book? First of all, it's illustrated by Mike. It looks like a Mike Berenstain book. It gives Mike a chance to draw a bunch of different animals in a bunch of different poses, which he loves. He gets to break away from just drawing cartoon bears. He gets to draw cartoon bees, cartoon birds, cartoon dogs, cartoon frogs, cartoon turtles, cartoon bunnies, all kinds of cartoon things. Gets to draw the honey tree, which is always a pleasure to see in a new book. So let's get into it. Let's get into this book, the Berenstain Bears, Possessive S, numbers book. Alrighty, here we go. For those of you watching along, watching on the YouTubes, I'm wearing a hat today. It's the same color as my shirt. Didn't even mean for that to happen. It's because my hair is gross and a mess, and I can't do anything with it. The Berenstain Bears numbers book from 2022. Let's take a look into this book. You can see that it's my book if you're watching along. You can see that it's my book because there's a giant crease on the scanned cover, and my copy of the book has said, it's hard to see, but it has said giant crease in it. So I am not fooling you. This is my copy of the book right there. Yep. All right, but I'm not going to hold the book up to the camera. Not when I went through all the trouble of scanning it for everyone. The Berenstain Bears numbers book. We see one bee. So what happens in this picture is the three bears, brother and sister and honey, are following a bee. Now, this is a pretty anthropomorphized bee as compared to some of the bees that we've dealt with in the past. But it's not an anthropomorphized bee in the same exact style that you would have seen in the Saturday morning TV show. Remember, the Saturday morning TV show, there's episodes I did on these episodes. There's an arc that involves Papa Bear's relationship with the queen bee. It's a thing. It's a mess. It's a nightmare. It's an interspecies, whatever. But I covered it in an episode years ago. Those bees don't quite look like this bee. So I just wanted you to keep that in mind. Different world, different continuity, different thread of bees, different bunch of animals, whole different thing altogether. But we see one bee. What do we mean by we see one bee? What does it mean by, what do you mean by one? What do you mean by that? One is the first positive integer and the multiplicative identity, meaning that any number multiplied by one remains unchanged. Its power and its square are always equal to itself. That gives one a lot of power. It's a powerful number. It's the first number. It's the main number. It's number one. When we say we're the best, we say we're number one. We are the first. We are the ultimate. The first positive integer, right? There's no decimals after this thing. There's no fractions involved. There's no negative sign in front of it. And it ain't zero, baby cakes. It's one. It's the first number. The first just solid number. It also, we would not be doing this if it were not for one, because one is one half of the binary code. That's right. One means on in binary code, forming the foundation of all digital technology. Without ones and zeros, computers wouldn't exist. Podcasts wouldn't exist. Thank you, one. Remember to say thank you the next time you see a one. The numeral that we think of as one, you might be looking at a picture of it right now, evolved from Sumerian and Babylonian symbols to the modern Arabic numeral. Early forms included simple vertical lines, later adapted in Brahmic scripts and passed to Europe through Arabic scholars. One. A lot of drawings of one, a lot of the ways we write one include a little flag on the top, and some include a serif on the bottom to differentiate it from lowercase l's. And capital I's. One. We love one. The English word one originates from Old English an, which also gave rise to words like alone, which is a contraction of all one, none, which is a contraction of not one, and atone, which means at one, to be at one. Its Indo-European root, oi no, also influenced Latin, unus, and Greek, monos, seen in the words universe and monopoly. One. We could talk about the cultural and philosophical symbolism of one. Pythagoreans viewed it as neutral, the source of all numbers, capable of transforming even numbers into odd and odd numbers into even. That's powerful simply by bringing itself into the equation. Can completely reverse a number. Pythagoreans, if you read about them, those were a wacky bunch of guys. One, Bedford's Law. The number one is the most common leading digit in real-world data sets, occurring approximately 30% of the time thanks to exponential and logarithmic growth patterns. One, we could talk about the scientific applications. We could talk about visual representations, religious and mystical connections. But in practical countings, the tally mark, the primitive base one system, still illustrates how one was used for early counting. One, your finger, one. One, of course it's one. It's timeless. It's the foundation of all numbering systems. One. I'm sorry, what were we doing? Oh, yes. So they follow one bee. Now, they see the bee, the one bee, with two birds. We see two colorful birds. Two. What's up with two? Well, two is the smallest even prime. Did you know that? Two is the smallest and the only even prime number, making it unique in the family of primes. It serves as the basis for determining whether an integer is even. If an integer is divisible by 2, then it's an even integer. Huh? Yes? Yes? 2 is the basis of the binary system. All binary systems. That's what we mean by binary system. There's two choices, 1 or 2. It's a source of binary computing. It's either 1 or 0. There's two options, 1 or 0. Binary uses those two digits, as we talked about, to represent every single number and every bit of data in computing. 2, which isn't part of binary, but it is the structure of binary. 2 originates from the Old English tway or two, or twagen, depending on if it's feminine, neuter, or masculine. English doesn't have feminine, neuter, or masculine anymore, but Old English did. Twa, tway, tu, and twagen became twain, which still survives. We still say cleft in twain. I mean, we don't always say it, but you know what that means, cleft in two. So twain used to mean two. Still, we think about Mark Twain, the writer, Samuel Clemens. Mark Twain was something that steamboat, like lookouts or whoever, would shout when they got to the twain part of like the river, because twain meant that there were two, like the water at twain was 2 fathoms deep, which is the shallowest water can be, and you can still safely like drive a steamboat across it. So they would yell, Mark Twain, because the mark for Twain was present. And then Samuel Clemens was like, that's a good name for a For a pen name for me, I'll become Mark Twain. 2. Across cultures, 2 symbolizes duality, light, dark, male, female, good, evil, balance, opposition, making it a significant number. It started out as 2 horizontal lines, just 2 horizontal lines, like one was sometimes drawn like this, 2 was drawn like this, in Indic Brahmic script, and over time, the lines would become like more like diagonal, they become curved, and eventually they formed the digit that we recognize today through Gupta, Nagari, and Arabic scripts. They became 2. So it was 2 lines that sort of like twisted and turned and became 2 eventually. When you think of twa, twain, tway, twi, 2 becomes twice, becomes between, tween, twin, still that roots, those roots in twa. That's why 2 is spelled T-W-O, because it had that sound originally. 2! It's used in base 2 exponentiation. In typography, the number 2 often appears at X height in old style fonts, maintaining consistency with lowercase text, while modern fonts elevate that height. 2! Duality, man. The duality of nature. Baby. 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, 2 lungs, 2 feet, 2 hands. 2! We're split down the middle. 2! Duality. The Janus. 2. Anything else about 2? Twa, tway, no. Oh, some 2s have like, are more curved and some are more like straight across just for typefacing. That's it. That's all I have to say about 2. So they see them birds, 2. They follow that bee to 3 puppies. We get some delightful looking Mike Berenstain puppies. But how many puppies are there, my ladies and gentlemen? There's 3. 1, 2, 3 puppies. 3? Are you talking about the number 3, the smallest odd prime number and the only prime immediately preceding a square number? Did you know that 3 is also the second prime number and a triangular number, which makes it mathematically unique? 3? 3 used to be 3 horizontal lines, and you can kind of see how that became the number 3. Ancient Brahmic notation used 3 horizontal lines. Gupta script added the curves to it, and the lines were rotated and connected over time, eventually forming the modern 3. Flat top 3, which you sometimes see with the dent, dent, and then the circle where it's like a little angle up there, used to differentiate it from an 8 in certain scripts. Flat top 3, it's versatile. You can recognize it however you write it. 3, the triune God, perfection, 3. Many religions and cultures love 3. They hang their faith on 3. The Christian Holy Trinity, the Hindu Trimurti, the triple goddess in Wicca. In Chinese culture, 3 is lucky because in Mandarin, their word for 3 sounds like alive, unlike 4, which sounds like death. 3! 3 is the first Fermat prime, the first Mersenne prime, and a Fibonacci number. It's the only prime that equals the sum of all the numbers before it. 1 plus 2 equals 3. The sum of digits rule makes it easy to identify numbers divisible by 3, and that's the sum of digits rule means. If you take all the digits in a number and add them together, and that number equals a number divisible by 3, then that number itself is divisible by 3. The sum of digits rule. 3 is incredibly important in geometry. 3 points can define a plane, a circle, a parabola, and a triangle, which is the simplest and most stable polygon. Triangles are fundamental in construction and in engineering. 3! Early counting systems frequently stopped at 3. Anything more than 3 was just called a lot, or many. You see this in counting systems in the Amazon and in Borneo. The indigenous cultures were like, why count higher than 3? You got more than 3, man, you got a lot. 3! Third time is the charm, because sometimes the third attempt was considered the lucky attempt. However, bad things also come in threes. Celebrity deaths, they come in threes. We don't know why, but jokes are best in threes. The setup, the thing where you establish the pattern, and then the subversion, threes. You can't have comedy without 3. You can't have horror without 3. Because 3 is frequently the sequel where everything goes 3D and becomes perfect. 3! Halloween 3, the best of the Halloweens. 3 is a crowd. 3 strikes and you're out. The rule of 3. No, the 3 is everywhere. 3, oh, it's the magic number. It can also be used for rough approximation in mathematics, considering that pi and e are both roundable to 3, either up or down, which makes you able to like sort of quickly estimate things in mathematics. 3, symbolic, tetrahedron, octahedron, icosahedron. 3 contains the triangles of 3 in those platonic solids. Pivotal in the geometry of dimensions. I'm going to be honest with you right off the bat. I read so much about math for this book that I don't understand, and then I just got lost in the sauce, baby. I started looking up mathematical concepts that I had to read 5-6 times over before I even began to understand what they were getting at. I am not a mathematician. I'm bad at math. 3. That's why I'm sticking with this. 3. Anything else? No. The old English tree, treo, derived from the Proto-Germanic tris. The Indo-European root tre gave rise to the Latin trace, which came with trio, triangle, tri, and the Greek tria, triad. Grimm's law explains the shift from the Indo-European t to the Germanic th, as in three. So tre to three. That's it. 3. It's great. It's a good number. 3. We like it. We respect it. We respect the number 3. 4, though, you follow that beat of 4 butterflies. Man, what are you asking for? What are you doing to me here? Huh? What's up with 4 butterflies, and where do we go with 4? 4. I gotta get to my notes. I took notes. 4 is the smallest composite number, and the first square number, 22, equals 4. Never mind. And the smallest semi-prime. 2 times 2 equals 42 divided by times 2 equals 4, something like that. I don't know. Lagrange's 4-square theorem states that any positive integer can be expressed as the sum of at most 4 squares. Also plays a key role in the 4-color theorem, which asserts that any map can be colored using only 4 colors so that no adjacent regions share the same color. 4. The numeral 4 originated from Brahmic numerals, where 4 lines were later It was like 1, 2, 3, 4. It was like eventually it was simplified into like a plus sign, like a cross, which over the centuries was adapted till it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. Sometimes it would be tilted, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. It became like this sort of flag shape. 4. You look up in the history of the number system, you'll start recognizing 4 pretty early on. 4. Where did the word 4 come from? The Old English, fjaur. Fjor, linked to Proto-Germanic fedwar and Proto-Indo-European, I can't even pronounce it. The Latin quator, quarter, quart, and Greek tetares all come from the same root. I don't know how, but it all leads to from the same place. The F in 4, oh, I see, likely arose from Germanic poetic alliteration with 5. Huh, interesting. So, yeah, so we had 4 vertical lines originally, which were simplified into a cross. Then Arabic numerals adopted the angular 4, often seen as open top or closed top, depending on your regional styles. That's regional styling. So don't get too wrapped up in it. But that's 4, man. 4. Anything else about 4? What do we like about 4? Got Fjauer. Oh, in NATO and ICAO radio telephony, 4 is pronounced Fower. To avoid misunderstanding it with other words, like F-O-R, or F-O-R-E, if you're talking about golf, I guessed. 4, because there is a word for F-O-R, you can replace that word with the number 4 in written English, and people still know what you're talking about. 4 is a great number. It's super playful. 4 dimensions define the framework of space-time and the theory of relativity. In logic, the square of opposition organizes propositions into 4 distinct forms, representing fundamental reasoning. Structures. The 4 basic arithmetic operations, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, are the foundation of mathematics, making 4 integral to understanding and quantifying the world. 4. Variants of 4 include Scots, Fower, and Gullah, Fall. Regional accents and dialects preserve its essence while reflecting linguistic diversity. 4. 4. I can't believe I'm doing this. Let's take less time on each number. I guess we're 40% of the way through the numbers. All right, so the bears chase that bee. That's 5 little kittens. 5 kittens, all from the same parents, because those 5 kittens are identical. 5 kittens playing on a fence, using their claws to climb the fence. What do we know about 5? 5, 5, who's got a 5? The smallest odd prime number, and that is the sum of 2 primes. 2 plus 3 equals 5. 2 plus 3 equals 5. It's a Fibonacci number and the hypotenuse of the smallest Pythagorean triple. As a Fermat prime, 5 plays a key role in number theory and appears as the value of the central cell in the smallest non-trivial magic square. Not going to look up what a magic square is. 5. A pentagon, a 5-sided polygon, is notable for its inability to tile a plane by itself. The pentagram, a five-pointed star, is derived from the pentagon and features prominently in art. Here's what's interesting. That pentagram, which many people associate with either modern-day Wicca or witchcraft or Satanism or sort of satanic symbolism, evil, magic in many forms, actually used to be a strongly Christian symbol. You would see it on a lot of knight shields. Why? Because the five-pointed star, not only in Christianity, but in a lot of religions, represented the human body, the head, the arms, the legs, right? But because stars were also in the sky and were seen as heavenly bodies, connecting the human to the divine, it was a very powerful symbol, the star, the five-pointed star, the pentagram. So don't let people tell you otherwise. You can draw a star, whoever you are. Draw it near, draw it far. Draw it riding in a car, the star. In four dimensions, the five-cell, a hypertetrahedron, represents the simplest polytope. Five vertices and a cornerstone of higher dimensional geometry. We're not even going to get into that. We're not going to get into Platonic solids. We're not going to get into the cultural symbolism because I already talked about it. The modern numeral phi evolved from Brahmic numerals, where it initially bore more resemblance to the number four. But over the centuries, Arabic and European traditions refined its shape into the digit we use today. In NATO radio telephony, five is pronounced fife to avoid confusion with similar sounding words. For like aviation and maritime communications. Five is important in astronomy. It's important in natural connections because of the structures like fingers and toes on not only humans but many other animals. Five has gained strong natural importance. We know that the word originates from the Old English fife, which stems from Proto-Germanic feimpf and Proto-Indo-European, not even going to try to pronounce it. Cognates appear in languages worldwide, such as the Latin quinque, French cinque, Greek pente, in Sanskrit panka, five, five, penta, they all derive from the same root. The connection between finger and five reflects ancient counting methods using fingers. So the word for finger and the word for five come from the same long ago root word, five. Five, geez Louise. Because of our five fingers, we would count on our fingers, but that somehow ended up giving us a base 10 mathematics system, right? But we should have done base 60 because counting on your... You used to be able to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all the way to 24. But that's why our time, our clocks are based in 12 and 24 and not in... In any case, 5! Give me 5! Take 5! 5! It's an important number. 5. I'm so tired. Let's get through this book because, boy, we're halfway there. Six bunnies. They run into six bunnies, which look a lot like the Easter Bunny from the latest Easter Bunny book. Six bunnies. They're wearing clothes. So these are at least somewhat sentient beings. Six bunnies. What do we know about six? Well, we know it's from the Old English "sex" and the Proto-Germanic "sex" (S-E-K-S) and the Indo-European root "swex," which influenced the Latin "sex" as in sextuple and the Greek "hex" as in hexagon. The X sound in six reflects the Germanic adaptation of the original S. Initially, it resembled more of a backward E, like a cursive E. So you have a cursive E, like that loop, but it was more like it would turn on its edge. So it looked kind of like what you think of as a six, but then that tail kept going down. And that was in Brahmi script. And over time, it developed its rounded form in Arabic numerals for easier writing. But the way it's looped now makes it easily confusable with nine, which is why they draw that line underneath it a lot, like on Uno cards and stuff. Six. Where was I? The six-sided polygon, the hexagon, is one of the three regular polygons that can tile a plane. However, hexagons in nature are abundant, like in honeycombs, because when you take circles and you like set them next to each other and then you sort of add pressure to them from all sides, you end up with hexagons. It's one of the strongest naturally forming structures like in existence. Like they're just, it's so rigid, it can withstand so much pressure. Six-sided objects, they're amazing. Six-sided cubes, obviously, are six-sided, like dice and stuff, and that's amazing. We wouldn't have role-playing games without six. I'm not even going to try to pronounce how you say six in radio telephony. I think it's ridiculous. But the six-pointed star is important in many cultures, including Judaism as the Star of David and Hinduism. Six is integral to design, especially in many cultures, because of the way you can tile with it, and it's strong. So you have things like hexagonal nuts and bolts, because that's strong for stability. They learned that those six sides, man, it's hard to destroy. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. Deep six 'em, man. Grab a six-pack, or check out my six-pack. Six bunnies. Next thing you know, you're going to have 600 bunnies. Six. Oh, seven ducklings. Quack, 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 quack. That bee is leading those cubs to seven ducklings, and seven is probably the most mathematically confusing number that I tried to investigate. It's derived from the Old English seophon, Proto-Germanic sebun, and Proto-Indo-European septum, the Latin septem, September, septet, and the Greek hepta, heptagon, share the same root. Seven, seophon, septum, seven, the nasal N at the end of seven reflects its Germanic phonological patterns. So think about that, ding-dongs. So the Brahmi script, seven, was a single diagonal mark. Arabic numerals, and then as it passed on, when it was adapted into Arabic numerals, they added the horizontal stroke for clarity to distinguish the seven from the one. And so we have the little flag hanging off the top of the seven, but if you don't want it to look too much like a one, then you add a stroke through it. And they do that in parts of Europe, I know, because when I had a friend who lived in Germany and I would write to her, she was like, can you please put a slash to the seven because our postal carriers don't know what to do with this like seven you've drawn because it looks like a one. Which, I don't know, seems like a lot to ask of me. But I did it anyway because I'm a handy guy. So it's the fourth prime number. It's a Mersenne prime and a double Mersenne prime. Here's my favorite, though, and I'm not going to explain this to you, but this is real. It's a lucky prime, a happy prime, and a safe prime. It is not, however, a sexy prime. Don't think I'm being funny. I'm not being funny. Those are real terms. Those are mathematical terms. You want a sexy prime? Look it up. It's a thing. Sexy prime. It's also the pet name of Optimus Prime. Geometry and tiling. Seven-sided polygon is a heptagon. The first regular polygon that cannot be constructed using just a compass and a straight edge. Seven. Seven's a weird number. Like, you can't split it up. Like, if you have seven of something, forget it. Like, you can't divide seven up into anything happy. No one's happy when there's seven of anything. If you have a heptagon, you have to pair it with like triangles and 42 sided shapes in order to like even out like a tiled plane. Seven. Let's see. In Mesopotamian culture, it symbolized mystical and spiritual ideas with significance in their base 60 counting system. It's often considered lucky and cited as a favorite number in Western culture. Rolling two six-sided dice gives a probability of 1 in 6 of landing on a sum of 7, the highest likelihood of any total. The nitrogen atom, central to life, has 7 protons, and 7 dimensions are involved in exotic mathematical constructs like octonions, where the number appears anomalously. We're not going to talk about graph theory, finite planes, heptagonal tiling, and symmetry. We already talked about the linguistic roots. Mythology and religion. Seven appears frequently in religious texts and myths symbolizing divine or mystical ideas. Examples include the seven heavens of Islam, the seven chakras in Hinduism, and the seven deadly sins in Christianity. However, seven is seen as a perfect number in Christianity, which is why 777 is the number of heaven and 666 equals the number of the beast. Why? Because 6 is 1 less than 7, which means it's almost perfection, but it's not quite perfection. That's what makes it so sad. So sad. The idea of 7 plus or minus 2 reflects the average number of items humans can hold in short-term memory. At sixes and sevens. Seven-year itch. A lot of expressions that use 7. 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Something, something goes to heaven. All right, next up we got 8. We got 8 turtles. They look tired. They look sad. They're in a pond next to a canoe. Swimming around, lounging around. The cubs by this point are pretty tired, looking for their bee friend who's landed on a flower. We take a rest next to 1 bee and 8 turtles. Bee, 8, 8. I bet this one's fun. 8. Oh boy, 8 comes from Old English eta and Proto-Germanic ato, the Indo-European root octo, appears in Latin octo, octagon, octopus, and the Greek octo. In Chinese, the symbol for eight, ba, represents prosperity, due to its phonetic similarity to the word for wealth. And in Japanese, is it Japanese? Yes, in Japan, the character hachi symbolizes growth and prosperity because its shape widens at the base. Eight. Where were we? Eight is the first cube and is neither a prime nor a semi-prime. It's the sixth Fibonacci number and the only non-trivial Fibonacci number that is a perfect cube. Eight is the first proper Leyland number. So eight originally looked like kind of like a chair. It was like like a line going down, line going across, line going down. So you can kind of see where like it was kind of a little bit of a lightning bolt shape almost, but more up and down. And over time, like it developed into loops and into sort of an unclosed H shape, which then became a closed H shape. But it has no relation to the infinity symbol, which looks like an eight, but is laying on its side. Infinity, totally just made up. Because the eight didn't evolve out of the notion of infinity. It just evolved to kind of look that way. In Chinese culture, 8 is so auspicious that the Beijing Olympics began at 8:08 p.m. on 8/8/2008. Think about that. In Pythagorean numerology, 8 symbolizes victory, prosperity, and balance. The phrase pieces of 8 refers to Spanish dollars, historically divided into 8 parts or bits. In Terry Pratchett's Discworld, 8 is a magical yet taboo number representing mystical energy. 8. Behind the 8 ball. Crazy 8s. 1 over the 8. We are 80% of the way through this book. Let's keep going. 9 frogs. We see 9 frogs on lily pads. What do you want to know about 9? Got anything for me? From the Old English, nigon, or Proto-Germanic naewon, and Proto-Indo-European neon. Latin novum, November, nonagon, and Greek enea, enneagram, reflect the shared root. Initially, it was a curled symbol in Brahmi script, but it evolved into a looped top with a descending tail in Arabic numerals. Handwritten forms often underline the 9, so you don't confuse it with the 6. 9. 9. Middle English 9. Yep. Related words appear across languages. Scots, Neen, Sutherland Frisian, Nugen, West Frisian, Nyogen, Dutch, Nagen, German, Low German, Nagen, German, Neun, Danish is a lot of words that kind of sound like 9. It's the largest single-digit number in the decimal system. How's that make you feel? It's a perfect square. 3 by 3 equals 9. Casting out 9s is a method for verifying arithmetic calculations. So I looked out casting out 9s. I looked this up. The notion of casting out. What does it mean to cast out 9s? I read about casting out 9s for a long time. And guess what? Couldn't figure it out. I kind of could figure out how they did it, but I could never figure out why. Casting out 9s, I could try to explain it to you, but I won't because it wouldn't make any sense. Casting out 9s. Oh, it's also the first odd composite number, whatever that means. Odin hung from Yggdrasil for 9 days to gain wisdom. 9. Cats have 9 lives. You live on cloud 9. You're dressed to the 9s, whole 9 yards. In that sense, 9 means good. 9 is good. I don't have anything else to add to 9. Let's round out this book by finishing up with our 10th hand. It's just 10 fish. So they get in the boat that the frogs are sitting next to, and they end up next to a bunch of 10 fish. 10 fish, blue fish, nice looking fish, blue fish. But what do we know about these fish? This is the worst episode I've ever done. There's 10 fish from the old German tien or teun, Proto-Indo-European decum. Latin decum gives us decimal, and decimate or decim gives us decimal, decimate. While Greek deca appears in decagon and decathlon. The connection to 10 fingers, digits, reflects the universal base 10 system. 10. 10? 10. It's the base of the decimal system, the most widely used numerical system in the world. Increasing a number by one order of magnitude just means you're multiplying it by 10. 10. Cognates exist across languages. 10, tsien, tien, zen, decum, decim. Dasa, Deca, 10, has 4 divisors, 1, 2, 5, and 10. It's the smallest non-coctotient number and has exactly 10 small pi-sot numbers that don't exceed the golden ratio. I bet you thought they exceeded the golden ratio, but those 10 small pi-sot numbers don't. Look it up. I know I did. didn't understand a word of it. But the metric system's based on 10. The metric system. Decagon. Pythagorean philosophy, 10 represents perfection and harmony, symbolized by the tetractys, a triangular figure of 10 dots. The term decimate originally referred to punishing 1 in 10 soldiers in ancient Rome. You decimate them. Get rid of 10% of them. And then there's this little thing called the 10 Commandments. Thou shalt not yell in your podcast. 10. I'm tired. I'm tired of these numbers. Let's end the book. Oh, they find the honey tree. It's the old honey tree. That weird, bloated, sort of womb-like shape that exists in bear country. That goozes and oozes fistfuls of honey, constantly goozing and oozing honey. The old honey tree. I don't even know what it is. It does not look like a tree. It looks more like something out of a Guillermo del Toro nightmare than a recognizable tree. And that's it. That's this. I thought it would be fun to take a lot of time to explain a very short book that doesn't have a plot. But I was wrong. It just took a lot of time, and all I could think to do was talk about numbers. I thought it'd be fun to talk about the history of certain numbers, because I love that kind of thing, but it's more fun for me just to read about. So my apologies to anyone who sat through this mess. This is a nightmare. This is a real nightmare of a situation. That's the Berenstain Bears numbers book. It's for newborns. It says it on the back. It says it on the back. It says, newborn to age 4. Let's see if I can hold that up. Right there. It says, newborn to age 4. But your newborn won't understand this. Newborns don't understand anything. I mean, you can show it to them, but they don't know what you talk about. Just spend your quality time with your baby. Don't worry about teaching it numbers just yet. They'll get there. They'll get there. And then you can explain Fibonacci sequences to them. I like math in theory. I don't understand math in practice. I hope you learned something from this episode. I didn't. I'm not going to retain any of this. I'll not forget the first 10 numbers, 1 through 10. Everything else is a wash. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for participating in this, the worst episode of Deep in Bear Country ever recorded. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez. Join me at my other podcast, It's Del Toro Time, which I do with Willow. I'll be getting the next episode out of that soon enough, I guess. It's just, I'm very tired. Otherwise, keep on rocking in the free world, baby. Berenstain Bears books. And I'll see you all next time, deep in bear country.